590 The Fan, The Morning Grind. Three tough guys scared of a little man in a mask with a shaky hand. Producer Joe, by the way, those following the previous segment, Rams discussion interrupted by a trick-or-treater who held up a sign, said deaf and mute, and then he had a brown bag that said Snickers only. So,
that's a good sign. I mean, if you're going to go for candy, Snickers is pretty good.
So what if you were like, you're eating these Razzles right now, which is odd in and of itself, but if you were to go out there and hand him the Razzles, would he have rejected them?
Might have stabbed me in the eye.
Producer Joe and I
went hand.
He did scare the whole building, there's no question. So Producer Joe and I bravely holding hands.
So brave.
It was a joke.
Bravely.
We were getting punked. Walked outside the studios here to see, and the man was getting in a red Corolla and pulling away. At the same time, another gentleman who must have been listening pulled up, rolled down his window, and said, I think he got punked. He just hopped in a Corolla, which sounds like a Warren Zevon song.
Well, you don't know your automotive information. 3 out of 4 deaf mutes drive Corollas.
Is that true?
Yep.
I did not know that. Yep. So we're actually we're going to run the plate here and find out who it is, and we'll share it with everybody. He did a good job. He faked us out, but I saw him pulling away, and I looked closely, and the left hand was not shaking uncontrollably, or else he would have been just hitting the stick shift back and forth. And he held up his hand when he saw Joe and I and started shaking. Kind of like somebody.
Maybe he was bracing it on the steering wheel.
Yeah, come on, Martin.
Yeah, okay. Well, he got us.
Was it a nice Corolla?
Yeah, it's an oxymoron. That was fine. It was not a beat-up car. It was fine. It was bright red. Cherry red. Man who spooked us pulled away in the cherry red Corolla. He did a good job, though. The whole building is on, like, code red right now.
Were you afraid?
I wasn't afraid, but I couldn't figure out if it was real or not. Maybe it's the same guy who called me about the Pattonville Islands. Just going to get me every
time. Vianney, Mom.
I was going to go get him a couple bucks.
I think we need to get on this.
We do need to get on this. It's a little frightening. It's starting to get very upsetting. Hey, we're going to hand out our game balls. It's Monday on the Grind. Game balls to be handed out by our friends over at Adler's. They're over on Forsyth. Right next door to the old Cafe Napoli, 7748 Forsyth for Adler's Jewelers. Game balls, goat balls, what do you like, Tim?
My game ball's going to go to Steven Jackson.
What are we going to do?
My game ball's going to go to Coach Vett for giving Jackson the football.
I'm going to give a goat ball.
Jamie Martin for handing off the football.
How about Steve Fairchild for calling the runs? And the line for blocking for him. And that plush turf for being there for him. I'm going to give out a goat ball to Mizzou for laying the egg and doing it to the Tiger fans again. You get everybody excited. You knew it was coming. 5-2, and just for a second, you wow, maybe they win that one, and then you win that
Go to like a real bowl.
Maybe you're 8-3, maybe 9-2, maybe. They did it again. I turned on the radio, and once again, it doesn't take long with Mike Kelly's voice. I know when they're not playing on the Tiger Network, and it's like 3-0, and they'll have to punt. You can tell right away just how down he is. But that's 3 years in a row they lost to Kansas. This ain't Penn State in the glory days. This isn't Southern
Cal. Kansas shuts them down, too.
I know. And I know they have a good defense, highly ranked against the run. But it's Kansas.
I'll tell you where they weren't happy was the Tiger Board.
Claire McCaskill going off?
Just not happy on that Tiger Board. They're calling for Pinkle Patrol's head.
They want him fired?
Oh, God, yeah.
5-3. They're going to lose at Colorado. 5-4. Beat Baylor, I guess, 6-4, and then lose to K-State, 6-5. Hello, Shreveport again.
You going to go down there? Sports Director, Channel 2, going to go down to Shreveport?
No, you're not.
We're sending a guy in a red Corolla that's deaf and mute. He's going to be covering the game for us. Goat ball to you, Mizzou, for getting everybody excited and laying an egg.
I'd love to sit here and break the game down. Problem is, I had to sit there and listen to Mike Kelly and John Cadillac. Bro, you can't watch it. How you break the game down, you know?
Apparently, Brad Smith was bottled up the whole game, and Mangino has said this, the big man over there, that they have a system for Mizzou, and I guess they do, because they've been able to do this in the past. So, goat ball going out to Mizzou. Rams get the week off. I think they're shutting it down for almost the whole week. I think they got like a day or two of
no media.
Get-togethers.
No media.
It. No media?
No media.
I don't care about the media. I got angioplasty at 6, okay? You guys talk about what you talk about. When Joe Vitt says, I don't read the papers in the post game, I'm like,
believe it.
He doesn't read the papers. When Mike Bart says, Leslie Visser, oh, God, I don't read the papers, no. And she even said, oh, come on.
Yeah.
No, I don't worry about that stuff. I just called Bernie's voicemail and moved him one time because he wrote something I didn't like.
Were you there last week when someone asked him about the late arriving crowd and the quietness, and he said, what am I, taking the census here? I've got a football game to coach.
Is that what he said?
Something like that.
He is hilarious because his answers are all about 4 seconds. I mean, if you ever had him on the couch, the TV couch, you better have 110 questions ready to fill that 4.5 minutes. What else? Hey, guys, I don't know. We're going to run it. Yeah, I'm a football coach, okay? I don't care about all this other nonsense. And that's exactly how his team played, though, other than nothing that stopped the run. You can't really gloss over that.
Is it because they watched The Gladiator?
Yes. You're discounting that.
Are you really buying into it?
Yes.
Oh, my God, you really are?
The week before, they watched Caddyshack, so they were loose. This week, they were tougher because of Gladiator.
What did Marge show them?
What did Marge show?
I think it was Along Came Papa.
I don't think it was.
Blazing Saddles.
I have sources.
This is great, guys. And they sit around the campfire. Too many beans. This is good. Enjoy it. Now they got to go to Seattle. Sleepless in Seattle. That's the move. Get them familiar with the city.
You know what? It is a nice little story about the movie clip that they showed.
Steve Mariucci did that with the 49ers when they came here like 3 years ago. They got their asses beat. Nobody's talking about it then.
Because no one points out when teams go out and get crushed what movie they watch.
Yes.
Well, how about the next time they lose
the game? Thing in the world.
40-10, we'll walk in the locker room. So, you know, I didn't want to ask the studio. What movie did you watch last night? Birdcage. We should have known better.
That Nathan Lane.
Should have known better.
I bet he's a tiger.
The defense played better. And they handed the ball off. It doesn't matter what movie they showed. They handed the ball off.
That's what Martin thinks.
Whoa.
Have you ever played
ever
the
watched
game?
The movie?
You ever been in a practice club?
Hey, where are the white women at?
What?
That is offensive.
It's a Blazing Saddles reference. That's pretty good for a kid who probably wasn't born until 10 years after Blazing Saddles came out. So they win, and you can give a game ball. I wish you could have given a game ball to Russell Crowe, for that matter. We missed the boat. Game balls and goat balls on Monday.
Martin, do you think they're going to the playoffs?
No, I still don't think they're going to the playoffs. Because I think you got to win the NFC West. Because looking around the rest of the league, somebody else.
The NFC East is sending a few candidates.
And the NFC South with Carolina.
Carolina's now quietly turned it back on at 5-2.
If you want to make the playoffs and you're the Rams, I think you have to win the division. And I think Seattle will win this week at Arizona, 6-2. So you're going up there. You're 2 games behind, and you lost them already. So it's a must win. But. No, I mean, it's great that they're playing well.
It's the first time that they play well. They're 4-4. But on top of that, this is a completely random analogy, but I'll go ahead and make it, and you can mock it if you'd like. I'll make it.
I plan on it.
Make it and mock it Mondays.
Yeah, we got the Billikens. Mock it.
Yeah, we got the Billikens.
Back to the grind. Yeah, those idiots. Time for make it and mock it. Brought to you by the Bat.
Baseball aptitude test. When Woody Williams came to St. Louis in 2001, he was a very average pitcher in his career. But the reason why he all of a sudden became better was because Dave Duncan worked with him and got him working on a couple pitches he hadn't thrown in San Diego. So there was a reason why there was a change. It wasn't just like all of a sudden he's like, I don't know, I'm just making pitches now. There was a change. Yesterday, there was a change. Mike Martz wasn't there. He's not going to be there the rest of the year. And as far as I'm concerned, that's about as good of an addition you can make by subtraction that a football team can do in the middle of the season. And you saw the results of the change. They ran the ball more than they threw the ball. They ran it 10 times more than they threw the ball with their two backs. I mean, that's a big difference. And you have a guy in the backfield who's a star. I'd put him as one of the top 10 backs in the league without question. You get that ball in his hands, he's going to do some things for you. And the offensive line's going to respond positively. You hear the comments of Adam Turman and Andy McCollum. These guys like it when they're running the football. And I can see positive effects of that. The way that team played yesterday, I haven't played a game like that in a long time, and that's encouraging. So with this change and something that you can point to and say, okay, here's why the result is what it is, it makes me think, you know what? Looking at the schedule in the second half, they can do this 75% of the remaining 8 games. They can get into the postseason because the schedule could be favorable. I mean, you look at some games in the second half of the season, at home against Arizona, at home against San Francisco, at Houston, at Minnesota. Those are games you expect to win. You didn't expect to win yesterday. You stole one. If you can steal a couple, all of a sudden you're looking at a good year.
And the fact they didn't use any timeouts in the second half. I didn't think that. I wanted to check it here because that was a game where it could very well have come down to a final possession where you needed a field goal and needed to stop the clock. They had all three timeouts when the game ended. They still had him sitting in the bank. And to me, that's not coincidence. Now, if you do make the playoffs and you're Joe Vitt, isn't that enough to keep the job? If you make the playoffs,
could be.
How can you not give it to him?
Could be. The thing, Washington.
Isn't that awkward, though? It's March's best friend, and you say, you know what, we've already decided that that relationship is over. Now can you stick with the guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Joel Quenneville
absolutely.
And Mike Kitchen were, you know,
absolutely.
Very tight, and Quenneville was happy for him. Now I don't think March would be the type of guy to be happy for Vitt, honestly.
Now, March says he wants to coach again next year. So if not here, then somewhere, and that's where the speculation is about Houston, the Raiders,
March is
wherever.
Manipulating the media like a mafia boss.
But look, if you're John Shaw and he says, I want my money. You owe me $3.5 million. Okay, we'll give you that, but you can't coach.
Oh, a non-compete, February 16th.
Bottom line, he said, yeah, I'll talk about it next year, guys. No, but if you're the Rams, you say, we're paying you $3.5 million next year to not coach. And he says, I want to coach. Okay, now John Shaw, the money guy.
Then you reach a settlement. I mean, that happens.
I say he takes the money, coach the show-me believers, and score like 70 points a game out there playing arena football and take the $3.5 million.
Watching that game yesterday, aside from seeing Jackson get the ball, which I like too, there weren't a lot of things where you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, they seemed to be in control on the sidelines. There weren't play calls where you're like, what are they thinking there? Granted, it wasn't all good yesterday, but as you know, overall, you felt pretty good about the way the game was handled. There weren't things, as Chops would say, there were no head scratchers.
No head scratchers.
Chops says it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The great Chops. It was a great win, and hopefully now, just make it exciting. Just have reasons to want to watch the games, because the last month I started saying, oh, it felt like 98 a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to watch these games.
That Saints game was dreadful.
You don't want to go down there, and I'm like, now this is football that you could watch week in and week out.
Do you think we're going to see this? That's the question. I mean, right now, two in a row, and you're thinking, okay, this can be good, but, you know, who knows, a couple weeks down the road.
It's one game in a row, because the Saints thing was ham and egg, and they were fortunate in that thing. Yesterday was a well-played football game, and because the guy that I believe is responsible for a lot of the problems and the head-scratching, if you will, is not going to be there, and I think that's a positive as far as the atmosphere out at that place, and also a positive as far as what takes place on the sidelines during the games. There's reason to believe that the thing can be turned around and may be turned around. I do believe that.
It's the Morning Grind, 5-9 of the Fan. Tim McKernan, Jim Hayes, Martin Kilquin, and a deaf-mute guy outside the window. This is the Monday edition of The Grind.